This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Now to that three-way scrum better known as the British elections. There was another party leader's debate this week.
This may have the feel of a TV popularity contest, but in truth, this is an election about Britain's future, a fight for your future and for your job.
I would say the politicians in this country have been treating the people as mugs for far too long. They've been sort of saying, look, we can do everything. Vote for us and we'll solve all your problems. You know, just let us pass a few more laws, spend a bit more money, pass some more regulations, and all the trouble will be fixed. And it's not really true. It's actually quite a big lie.
I think if we do things differently, if we stand up for the values that have made our country great, then we can be proud again, proud of greater fairness here at home, and proud also of standing up for the things we believe in the world.
That's Labour Party leader and current Prime Minister Gordon Brown first, then Conservative leader David Cameron, and Liberal Democratic leader Nick Clegg. Our friend Simon Huggart, political columnist with The Guardian, joins us on the line from London. Simon, so good to talk to you again.
It's great to talk to you, Scott.
So they all convinced me. inevitably, these first direct debates, although these folks theoretically debate in Parliament all the time, they've inevitably called American style. Were they good shows?
Well, they weren't bad at all, actually. I've been to plenty of debates in the States, and they had some of that terror of saying something wrong, something that will hang over them for the rest of the campaign. You've got that. But, of course, they're so much more used to, well, can I put it this way, personal abuse, shouting and screaming at each other, that that's sort of coming out. And it gives it a slightly livelier edge, I have to say, than some of the American debates, which do tend to be, you know, as if a couple of animatronic figures were standing at either side of the stage. So been quite fun. And the second one, which we had a couple of days back, was even more fun because they're getting a bit more relaxed. They're getting a feel for how the debate works. But on the other hand, one of the problems is that they've all demanded that the audience, about 200 people, can't react in any way at all. They're not allowed to cheer or to boo or to jeer or even they're discouraged from laughing because they don't want to make it look as if one of the candidates is more amusing than the other. So they were really feeling stiff, and that does not help the atmosphere. Luckily, the politicians are in fairly frisky form, and that helped.
Yeah. Now, inevitably over here, Liberal Democratic leader Nick Clegg seemed to get the most attention, the greatest benefit. But does the attention actually translate to potentially being able to take control of government in the parliamentary system?
Yes, I just wonder what they're saying about Nick Clegg in Des Moines. It may be slightly less than perhaps we're talking about him here. Yeah, well, he conceivably could, though the polls show a bit of a swing away. What he had in the first debate, his advantage was that he hadn't been advised to look at the audience or to look at the other speakers. So he was gazing straight into the camera, gazing, I have to say, rather mournfully. He looked as if he was saying, "My children miss their puppy. If you have any news of our puppy, please be in touch." It had that air, and I think people, for some reason, really liked that. Well, of course, the second time round, a couple of days ago, the others had cottoned on. They realised that looking deep and soulfully into the camera lens was what they should do, and it showed in the polls. They were actually doing rather better, and so what we're seeing today in the latest poll is that Cameron, the Conservative leader, seems to be opening up a lead, and with Clegg behind him and poor old Gordon Brown, our sitting established Prime Minister, looking very much behind and rather out of sorts and grumpy.
Before we run out of time, what are the major defining issues between the three?
There are defining issues?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's why I left
basically,
this for last.
It's on the economy. That's the one that matters overwhelmingly. The Conservatives are saying, look, we are in a very, very, very bad way. We have to slash spending very, very fast, very deeply, very firmly, and if not, we'll be in the same position as Greece and we'll have the IMF come chasing after us. The Labour Party says, no, that's absolute nonsense. If you do that, all you do is throw people out of work, which makes the recovery, which is coming, but slowly, even more delayed, because basically cutting isn't just cutting, it's cutting people's jobs. Therefore, what they're saying is we've got to go on spending more money to get us out of recession, and the recovery from recession means we'll get more tax revenue and we're going to solve the problem that way. It's a very deep schism, actually, and the Liberals, as it happens, agree with Labour on this particular topic.
And we should remind ourselves in the British system, as in any parliament, you don't vote directly for the people you're seeing on television, do you?
No, you vote for a member of parliament, and parliament in theory chooses the prime minister by its own vote. In fact, what happens is that the leader of the majority party becomes prime minister. But if there is no party with an overall majority, that's where the fun begins, because you then have to start dealing in coalitions, and that's what they have in Germany, Italy, and some other countries which aren't particularly successful.
Simon Hoggart, political columnist for The Guardian. Thanks so much.
Thank you.